Yeah, it does get warm.
Three, two,
one.
Today, between ball games, we get a chance to visit with one of the newest pioneers, Isla Borders. And a lot of people are wondering, how did you get started in baseball?
I basically grew up on a baseball field. My dad played professional baseball, you know, and it's basically just brought up on a baseball field. Loved playing. I started playing baseball when I was 10. Went all the way through the ranks, paid my dues, played Little League, junior high school, then got a full ride scholarship to go play, you know, Division II baseball in college. And now this is my fourth year in professional baseball, and I'm loving it.
Let's back up a little bit. When you got to high school, that was kind of a pioneer situation for you there.
Yeah, it's been a tough road. There's been some great things and there's been some bad things. But, I was the only woman playing, you know, high school baseball. Even, gosh, at that point in time, there's no women playing, you know, baseball in high school. Now you got a couple, a few. So it was quite a difficult road.
Now, by the time you got to college, were you surprised that you got a college scholarship, or had you anticipated that?
No, I anticipated it. I believed in myself. I think what it came down to is I had good stats, good stuff. I sent out a video just in case people were thinking, girl pitcher, what's going on here? And I had five offers, and I basically narrowed it down to what was the best baseball school. I chose Southern California College.
Now, that's now Vanguard College.
Right, Vanguard University now. And I went there just because a lot of people got picked up by baseball teams over there. It was an hour away from the house. It was right next to the beach. You can't really go wrong with those.
First year at Southern California, how did the team react? How did you react?
First team went really well. The first year went really well, but middle of the road that year, a lot of resentment started to come in. You know, I'm not around professional men, you know, that are mature like I am now. I was mostly around a lot of immature men that are young, didn't know how to deal with the situation. Here I'm a freshman, getting all this attention. Here they are, juniors and seniors. So they did a lot of bad stuff. Now that I look back upon it, I don't think any person should go through that. But I did, taught me a lot. And now I'm around mature men, so it's a little bit easier.
Then after Southern California, you finished at Whittier.
Yeah.
How did that take place?
Actually, you know, my freshman and sophomore year were really difficult. Junior and senior year, you know, people started to know who I was, started to respect me, started to give me, you know, now you're the upperclassman, you know, you get to dish it out. But senior year at Whittier College was just by far the best experience in baseball that I've had, you know, thus far. So the guys treated me great, got to actually coach a little bit, got a lot of innings in and did really well. So I was really pleased with my Whittier College experience.
Let's go back a little bit more. Have you always thought that, hey, I would like to do this at the college or professional level? Or when did that begin in your mind?
When I was 10, you know, I knew I wanted to play professional baseball. I wanted to get a win. That was my main thing. You know, and hopefully, you know, get signed by an organization. But my main goal is to play professional baseball and get a win. And I've done that. And right now I'm just trying, you know, I make goals every year. And so far I've obtained every goal that I wanted to get. And this year I'm going to try to help the Zion Pioneers out, you know, take a championship and hopefully get hooked up with a team, you know, major league organization team, just to give me a shot. That's all.
When did you tell your parents, hey, I wanted to try this? Was it 10?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think they knew even before that. You know, I was 5 years old, there's pictures of me swinging the bat, you know, and throwing the ball. I think it just comes from being from a very athletic family. And basically, that's all I knew how to do because that's where I was at. You know, every Saturday and Sunday, I'd go out there with my mom and dad for close to 6 hours each day and just play ball. You know, family vacations, you know, our family, you know, on the weekend, we'd play over the line. We're just a little different.
Now, your mom was a competitor too, right?
Right, right. She didn't do any professional swimming, but she loves to swim. She's great at it. That was her thing. That's what she loves to do. And then my dad was a professional baseball player. So those combined really have helped out, you know, me and my family.
It doesn't seem like there is a political agenda, an idea of, hey, I'm doing this for women's rights. Uh-huh. Am I wrong with that impression? This is more, I'm doing this because I enjoy baseball.
Right. I think a lot of people don't understand that. I think they're thinking that it's more, you know, I'm out here for women's rights. I think that's their first impression. But I think when you come out there and you watch me and you listen to me a little bit more, you know, I'm just out here because I love baseball. And I love it when somebody says I can't do anything or I can't do it, because it just, it fuels my fire, and that's what keeps me going.
Now, you never had the idea that I'm doing this because my dad really wanted a son.
No, not at all. You know, there's so many misconceptions. People think that. People think I do it for the media attention. People think, you know, it's a joke. But I think if you just go off of, come out there, watch me pitch. I love playing baseball. I'm not out there for women's rights. I'm out there for me. And I've been doing fairly well, well lately. And I think that should speak for itself.
I've got to ask you, when did you first start to get all the media attention? Was it in high school? Was it earlier?
Gosh, I've had it since I was 10. You know, and I've been through everything. I've been called everything. So it's nothing new, but after a while, it's just like, it gets tiring.
What's your best memory as far as an individual game from your college years?
College years, I would say it was my first win. There's a lot of media, a lot of people there. We ended up beating that team like 12-1. It was just amazing. It's just a great feeling. Everything really worked out. That was my best game, and from then on, it was kind of a tough road.
How did the professional career begin? I know you began with St. Paul, but how did that begin?
Basically, I wanted to go to a place where people could say you didn't get there to, you know, put people in the stands. So I figured going to St. Paul with no contract in my back pocket, having to earn it, and then by getting on the team, making the team, and St. Paul Saints, they for 3 years in advance, they already sold out their season 3 years in advance. So I figured, hey, you know, nobody can say now that I got here to sell seats because they're already sold out 3 years in advance. And that's why I chose the Saints, and I figured to go from there.
Now, from there, you went to the Duluth Superior team. How did that take place?
Gosh, just really lucky. I met great people in Duluth. We ended up winning the 1997 Northern League Championship. First year in professional baseball is a great experience. Just basically got traded there for another guy. I think they wanted to give me more innings. You know, I wasn't getting enough innings in St. Paul. And then I went to Duluth and kind of got the same amount of innings, because when you're a rookie, you really don't get a lot of innings.
Well, that's true. It happens with everybody that way.
Right, right. You know, a lot of people, you know, say, oh, she's not getting this, she's not getting that. I'm like, just compare me to another rookie. You know, my ERA might be a little high, but I just got out of college. I'm in, like, almost double-A baseball. Give me a break. Compare me to another rookie, not to Randy Johnson.
Did they use you mostly in relief, or did you start any games with Duluth?
First year was relief. Second year, I started halfway in the season. That's when I picked up my win. I did really well. I actually feel more comfortable in a starting role. And then last year with Madison, I did the same thing, but they didn't want me to go too many innings. Their reason for that, I don't know. But I'm just the type of player that I just want to pitch and I want to play, help my team out, and that's it.
I know once you were let go by Madison, then the choice was to come back west, it seemed to be. Why did you choose the Pioneers?
Well, actually, I talked to three teams, and when I talked to Pat Elster, and he was just kind of telling me all the right things, you know, that here it's mostly like an organization. It's not just, you know, a ball club. He knew a lot about the game. Mike Littlewood, you know, he talked about him a little bit and how he goes about things. I just really liked the conversation and what he told me. And, gosh, you guys are in first place. You're 17-4. And just taken care of very well, and I figured this is the place to go.
Your most recent outing against Feather River, that was 4 1/3 innings. Was that one of your longer outings?
Yeah, it actually felt really great. Got my control back. I'm a control pitcher. I knew it was going to be a little tough because, you know, I didn't throw for 2 weeks when I first got here. But I finally got my fastball under control again, and that's what made me successful.
I've got to ask you, with all of the media attention with each stop now, that gets to be a little bit, it seems to be a little bit of a burden to carry with you all the time.
Yeah, that's the most difficult part, I think. Just because I don't think people understand it's the same questions, it's, you know, the same thing. I think people are looking for some sort of hidden, you know, controversy, or they're always looking for a story instead of just reporting the facts. So I got kind of a little chip on my shoulder, but you know, I'm trying to deal with it, but it's just really hard when people come up to you and ask, you know, rude questions, and you have to just say a really nice answer back. And plus, you know, I got stress enough going out there and performing well. You know, when you know that the whole world knows what's going on, that's even more added stress.
But it's still fun for you after all these years?
Definitely, yeah. If it still wasn't fun, then I wouldn't do it.
Let's find out a little bit about your family. We talked about your parents. What about brothers and sisters? Are there any more baseball players on the way up?
Yeah, my little brother Randall plays baseball. He was just in town, had a great time with him. He's 14, just a great kid, wonderful kid. He plays every sport, though. My other brother, Philip, he's into the Navy, the Air Force, going into school. He's never really been into sports except for golf. And my sister, Leah, she's playing basketball. She's got a scholarship at a JC, and she's trying to go to USC, so hopefully something will work out with her.
One of the things, probably you get asked a lot, was there ever any thought about going with, say, the Silver Bullets, the professional women's team?
No, actually, there's quite a lot of stuff between me, them and I. I didn't choose that route just because I've always played with men. My goal is to, you know, be a professional baseball player, make it as high up as I possibly can. If you go with the Silver Bullets, it's just a dead end street. You don't really have a chance to move up. And then they also, you know, they started playing, you know, minor league teams, and then they moved playing, you know, 40 to 50-year-old men. And to me, that's not baseball. You know, I think they wanted to get better standings, better, you know, win a loss record, instead of really putting their time in, working hard, and getting better. And then when I did finally decide to go to St. Paul, I got a lot of, you know, not so great faxes and emails from them saying that I shouldn't be the one. So I'm actually happy I didn't go with them.
A lot of people may wonder, what about the life outside of baseball for Isla Borders? What was your degree in? What do you plan to do outside of baseball?
Oh, my gosh. I got my degree in kinesiology. I love kids. Wanted to go into teaching. In the off season, I'm a substitute in high school, teach that. And then I'm also work at a preschool with 12 two-year-olds. Just love kids. I think they're our future, you know, impact them in a positive way and help out. And it helps out the world. But I think down the line, I would actually like to stay in baseball, you know, either be a coach or coaching softball at the Division I school or being a pitching coach for baseball or actually maybe working with Major League Baseball Player Association, you know, try to get into that. There's so many different avenues, but definitely want to stick into the game.
I've got to ask you, we talked a little bit about how you answer the media, but obviously with the focus on you all of the time, How do you survive the media?
Sometimes I don't. To tell you the truth, I got great family and I got wonderful friends that listen to me. You know, they hear the bad stuff. They hear stuff that I kind of take all my stuff out on them, you know, instead of other people. And they really, without my family and friends, I really couldn't be here because they take the bad stuff. But I'm just very lucky.
What's your most pleasant surprise about baseball at the professional level? What's been the biggest surprise for you that's been a good surprise?
A good surprise? Basically, I thought most of the baseball players in general have been really, really good. You know, I thought it was going to be mostly like college where all of them hated me. They're throwing bats and baseballs at my back or my head. Here, they're very supportive. Really mature. It's really nice to have, like, I met Tippi Martinez, you know, and Randy Jones, and they are praising me. I mean, as far as pitching is concerned, I'm just like, God, that's so great. That's so wonderful that people can be open-minded, you know, and see the talent that I have and let me go from there. It's just amazing.
What's your best pitch?
Basically my screwball. Yeah, I don't throw fast, so I basically have to hit spots and change speeds, and with my screwball, it kind of sets up my fastball and everything else. I kind of pitch backwards.
And once again, if there is any message that you always wanted to have the media ask you, and you wanted to answer that question, what would that be?
I don't know if I could say that. not all the media is bad, but I just wish some of them would stop trying to look for some controversy or reporting, you know, not the correct facts. That really bothers me, you know, and try to keep it on a positive note. You know, I'm not here trying to bring anybody down. I'm just trying to lift people up. So I just wish that they put it on more of a positive note and tell people, you know, go after their dreams and don't listen to anybody but themselves.
Isla Borders, thank you for being with us. Good luck with the Pioneers.
Thank you.
Three, two, one. We're visiting with manager Mike Littlewood, and I know by the time this airs, Mike, this will be between ball games, so as we interview, it's before the games. But let's talk a little bit about the extra day off. Does that help or hurt?
You know, I think since we were ready to play and and already here, already taking BP, and found out late. I don't think it helps at all. One thing that it might help is Mark Pesciotta, who our new our closer, wasn't ready to throw last night. So I think he'll be ready tonight. So in that respect, it helps us. Max Tremblay's arm was a little bit tender. I'm sure it's going to be better tonight. That'll help us. Jeff Garf in the pen was at a wedding last night. So that'll help us having him here. So the positives are simply that Steve Cook got an extra day's rest, and whether that's good or bad, who knows? We'll find out. Well, I guess we already know, but hopefully Steve will give us a good outing today. And the nice thing about it is we're playing 2 7-inning games, and so he's already really thrown 2 innings for us without walking out of the mound and cut that game down. But we're going to use anybody we can to try to get a couple wins. Yuma won last night. Gained a half game on us with us not playing. So we're 4.5 games in front before this first game started. And if we can win two out of three here and 2 out of 3 against Yuma, this thing is going to be over. And we really need it. Yuma's playing very well. So we're going to have to go be really aggressive and just kind of like take the bull by the horns. And hopefully this first game we can – they've got a left-hander going, but we can be aggressive on the bases and get some guys on and steal and hit and run and do the things we like to do.
I've got to ask you, let's talk about – you have 3 new pitchers as of this homestand, Jason Chivers, Marty Jansen, Mark Pesciotta. Let's talk about each one of those guys and what they bring to the Pioneers. So let's begin with Jason.
Jason Chivers, big, tall left-hander. He was a little bit unknown coming to us. He's a guy who has been in rookie ball and A-ball. And, you know, that's the lowest level you can get in the minors. And this league's probably better than he's played in. But I was we threw him Saturday night, and I was impressed with his stuff. The word is he walks about a guy in an inning, and he strikes out a guy in an inning. Chris Briones said that he really threw well, and his ball moved. And, I liked what I saw. I think he can really go in and help us. So I'm excited to have him. He's a little bit of a developmental guy. We're going to have to work with him a little bit and get him to where he's consistently throwing strikes. I think he and we would like to see him strike out too for every one he walks, or more strikeouts to that. I think a good strikeout ratio is maybe 3-to-1 to strikeout to walk ratio. So he just needs to improve in that area. Obviously, looking at his stats, I was impressed with the way he threw.
Marty Jansen, this is a guy with major league experience.
Yeah, Marty, what he's going to do is he's going to give us a real solid starter. And we don't really know, I guess the advantage of having a rain out or pipe out, whatever it was yesterday, flood out, is that the game is 7 innings. And I don't think it's almost like Marty's gone out and thrown 2 innings already because they're only 7-inning games, used to playing 9. And so if he can give us 4 or 5, that's great. That's like going, 6 or 7 into a 9-inning game. I don't think his legs will be under him to go all 7. But he's got nasty stuff. You and I talked about that a little bit before. Chris Briones said he's got the nastiest stuff he's caught this year. What he gives us is a real solid starter to go to, which we need right now. If we can get him 3 starts in the next 12 games, which could potentially happen, that's what we need, especially with Chris Nelson going out.
Mark Pesciotta, you just met him yesterday. He showed up yesterday. What do you know about him, and how impressed are you with him?
I'm impressed by what I see physically. 6'6", 220, 230, something like that. Looking at his stats are impressive. I believe he's got major league time. He wants to be a closer, and that's what we need right now. What he enables us to do is move Jeremy Thomas back into the starting role, and the way Jeremy's throwing right now, he can beat anybody in this league. And so it really shores up our starting rotation and shores up our bullpen for sure. We'll see. We haven't seen him throw yet. Maybe he'll throw. I have a feeling he will probably throw in this first game that just happened or just going to happen. So, hopefully we have a chance to throw him out there because the times he's going to go out there is when we're winning in the late innings, and we need him to go close down a game.
Personality-wise, with Jansen and Pesciotta and the fact they've been in the major leagues, will that provide leadership for this pitching staff, and in what ways?
I think it will, definitely. We already have some guys, obviously, who have been there. Steve Cook's been in the big leagues longer than anybody here. In fact, probably longer than anybody, all the guys put together. He's got 6.5 years in the big leagues. And so we already people already understand that. But I think just talking to Mark Pesciotta, he seems like a real genuine guy, a guy who just wants to come in and help this team and help himself at the same time, as well as Marty. So I think more than the experience they bring is just the personalities that they have, and they're going to be good team guys as well. You know, not come in and try to be individuals, but just come in and help us and help themselves at the same time.
We got to talk about the All-Stars a little bit. Two pitchers, both left-handers, going to the All-Star game, Brian Mazzone and Max Trembley.
Yeah, and they both deserve it. There's no doubt about that. Max has 16 or 17 appearances already this year in 34 games. You know, it's incredible, or however many we play, 33, 32. But just incredible to come in almost half your games or more than half and really get the job done for you. He deserves it. And Brian Mazzone's been a little unlucky with us not scoring runs when he's throwing well. Had the best ERA for the first month of the season. So I'm happy for him. They both deserve it.
Among the position players, Robert Murrow and Rod McCall make it.
Yeah, and Robert's had a great year. Rod started off real hot. Was out a little bit with a knee injury. He still has a real good batting average, and looks like his groove starting to come back a little bit, hitting the ball to left center with authority, getting the ball in the air. For him to be in that 4 or 5 spot for us is great. And Robert Murrow is just, he's hit every pitcher, every game, every time, every park, and he really hasn't gone through a lull where he hasn't swung it. So he's been a constant. He's been so good, we've moved him into the 3-hole for us.
D.G. Nelson, aced out by the former major leaguer Kevin Mitchell, but he's on the reserve squad there and an All-Star.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, number-wise, should have definitely been in the starting lineup there, and it's kind of a travesty. Since we, as coaches, vote for it, I can't imagine any other coaches voting somebody else because of their name. So I don't know if it was the media or whoever voted. They vote also. That gave Kevin a couple extra votes. But, people go to see ex-major leaguers, and that's fine. And I think in his case there might be a reason why it's X before his name. But DG deserves to be in the starting lineup, and he's helped us tremendously. I hope he just goes, and if he gets a chance, they all do well.
I know you'll be in Sonoma County just prior to that. That'll make it easier for them to travel to the All-Star game.
Yeah, we've already got their travel worked out. Lena Burton at the office has already she called me yesterday and already has that all planned and has a van waiting for them, and they'll drive up there and got a flight back. So they're set. They're ready to go.
Attitude-wise, can this team turn it around on the field? It looks like they have not gotten down on themselves in spite of losing 10 of 12 games.
Not at all. I mean, our attitude is great. We really feel like we're putting up plenty of runs to win ball games. Like we talked about last time, we just need to put the two together: pitching, defense, which has always been solid for us. Defense has always been our number one strength, but we really need to put pitching and hitting together in the same 9 innings. And we haven't done that. Either we score 16 and give up 19, or we score 1 and give up 2. So. If we can score maybe more than the other team, that would be a big help for us.
Mike Littlewood, thank you for being with us. Hope you've had good luck in the first game and good luck in the second game.
Yeah, we need to try to get 2 tonight. That's what we want to do.
Three, two, one. Visiting with manager Mike Littlewood, and sometimes I feel like these last couple of days. Three, two, one. Zion Pioneers manager Mike Littlewood. It's good to be on the road again, isn't it?
Yeah, ask me that at 11 o'clock tonight. We hit a little roadblock there down home for those 3 games, and actually doesn't feel too bad to be back on the road. And who knows what it is about our park. We just need to play well down there. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. We're pretty much in all 3 of those games until late innings, and just need to turn around a little bit tonight.
I'm beginning to wonder if it was a lunar effect. You kept getting closer to a full moon each night.
Yeah. I don't know what it was. I think it was probably lack of bullpen and the lack of timely hitting more than anything. But, they're professionals, like we say all the time, and they should come back and battle tonight. And
on this six-game road trip, we need to win. We need to win, you know, two or three. I would like to win three or four. That would give us a good opportunity. We've got, I think, a nine-day homestand coming up pretty soon. And if you look at it, really, we need to win eight or nine games this in the last the end of this last first half and to clinch this thing. And so take one game at a time and see how it turns out.
First half, second half. Puts two pennant races together. Do you like the idea of having the first half, second half?
I kind of do. You know, mentally, it almost seems like it makes things shorter. Because we're looking at a 21-game season right now. That's the way I'm looking at it. You know, and another thing it does is if you don't do it in the first half, you have a chance to do it again. And if the first team, if the winning team wins both halves, then you still have to play well the whole season. So I actually like the format.
Take some of the pressure off in the second half if you win the first half.
Yeah, and, you know, we're a little bit shorthanded right now. With Freddie down and we just with Tim gone, I think we just need to really battle as a team and come together and try to scratch out a couple wins while we're shorthanded.
You've had another roster change since last we talked.
Yeah, Glenn Spencer. We released Glenn and activated Latif Vaughn. And, you know, I like Glenn. I thought Glenn could really play. But, you know, that's what baseball's all about. You know, it's you can't always go with the guys you like and you think can do it. Yeah, sometimes you have to go with guys who are projected a little bit higher. So I think we're still looking, though. You know, we've always said we're probably one either starting pitcher or closer short. And I think right now we're probably one big...
Real fast. And you're staying right in. Yeah, so it's real fast. Then you throw a changeup out of that same motion, and the guy's way out in front.
Yeah, long.
Because major league hitters will hit the best of fastballs. I asked Bruce Hurst one time, I said, when did you get one of those welcome to the major league sort of greetings? He said, he's pitching against the guy, my name is Kemp. Kemp has been in the Hurst and Southern Cal. Left-handed hitter was going to hit that. He's going to pull off of it, never get anything off it. He says, if Steve Kemp hit it off the left center field fence for a triple. He slides into third base, and he turns around to Carlton Fisk, who's just elected to the Hall of Fame, was his catcher. And Fisk goes,
what you tell you?
Welcome to the majors, you know? He throws a perfect pitch, and the big gets live.
Thank you.
Larry.
Yeah, I thought he made a little play and he didn't get there. Yeah, that shortstop is amazing. He makes some errors on some of the dumbest things, and in a critical time, he'll make a super play. He is just amazing. So.
He is? What's his name?
Tim Cooper.
Oh, okay.
He was in the Yankees organization for a while, but Derek Jeter was ahead of him. Jumped ahead of him. How you doing, Yoshi?
Oh, good. Thank you.
Have you been over getting baseball? Get all of those over here?
Yeah.
You got all?
I got games.
There are three of my things, right there.
All my friends.
Oh. What?
No, that's not.
That's not. Is this the guy that's related to Caitlin?
Friends.
Just know each other.
Yeah. We played actually golf together.
San Diego State. Whose organization have you been in?
I was with the Indians for my seventh year with them. And then I went with the Dodgers for about 2 weeks. So
what positions?
I was mostly catcher with those guys. First, third. You know, I played first and third, like 15 games each last year. Draft the third baseman. That's all right.
Have you been a teammate with these somewhere along the line?
No, just spring training.
Thank you.
played with any of these other guys before?
No, we were in the same organization at one time together, but never played again.
Sure, I'll hold that back for a little bit.
problems. So knuckleballs, Angela.
Danny's on there?
Yep.
We'll talk that way.
Did Morpeth the other day? Four innings, no earned runs, nine strikeouts?
Brad Moore down than you.
No. Was it Marcus? I thought it was Marcus.
Oh, there's Brad, too.
Oh, Marcus? Maybe it was Brad. I assumed it was Marcus.
No, he has two of them down there. Brad Moore is their big pitcher.
I just saw more. I figured he went four innings. I was thinking, well, he probably wasn't in shape, so they only had him go four. I just got it.
I don't have a pen except up there where I have to do that.
Well,
Pat, our address
1240 East 100 South.
Can this be done in pencil?
No, I got a pen in my.
I got a pen there too.
This is
Do you have a tracer?
I don't. I used to. When I was younger, I used to look right.
Definitely not related.
A little southern. You don't have as much pop as me, so just letting you know now.
two sons-in-law are first cousins. I mentioned that in my class one day. Somebody says, only in Utah and Georgia. Yeah, their mothers are sisters. Weird.
It goes sometimes.
He gives up four hits and like two of them get beyond the infield grass.
Yeah. Yeah. He gave up two home runs that game, I think.
He gave up the home run on the end.
Yeah.
And Cooper had a double.
Yeah. Cooper killed us both times. He had the home run.
Yeah.
Cooper did.
Yeah.
That's
where it goes. You're going to have the drumsticks going tonight. You guys are giving away 1,500 pairs of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's going to be a noisy night.
That'll be fun.
Thank you.